When I heard about the mine disaster in Turkey on Tuesday, my thoughts turned to Chile. Remember 2010 and the 33 men who survived 69 days after their copper mine collapsed? That was near Copiapó, Chile, and it was 17 days before anyone even knew they were still alive. After their rescue, they became international heroes, honored guests on TV talk shows. The BBC's Gideon Long helped us cover that story in 2010, and he recently went back to Copiapó to find out how those men are doing now.
The men are all still alive. Most of them are still living in Copiapó. Many of them are in a poor state, though. They said that they primarily had two problems. The first was work. They found it difficult to find work. But secondly, and probably more importantly and more alarmingly, many of them still have psychological problems. That was the case with Carlos Barrios, for example. He was 27 years old at the time of the rock collapse. He said that he was fine when he came out. For 2 years, he had a good job at another mine. He went back down the mines. He was playing football with his friends in a football team. And then 2 years after the accident, he suddenly just had a huge relapse. I met up with Carlos Barrios in Copiapó's main square in a cafe, and this is what he had to say to me.
They gave me brain tests, and the results weren't good. They sent me to Santiago for treatment, but the psychologists just gave me pills, pills, and more pills. I became addicted to pills. I'm still taking them. I have nightmares, a fear of the dark. I have a young daughter now, just 5 months old, but I can't sleep with her in my bed because I wake up thrashing my arms about. Mentally, I'm still very fragile.
Gideon, it sounds kind of like a PTSD of sorts. I mean, given these psychological challenges, how many of these miners went back to mining? I know you said Carlos did and then bailed from that second job.
Carlos did go back to mining, and several of the others did, or at least tried to as well. Some of them said that it was quite a challenge to go back down the mines for the first time, but many of them did try. Others said they had no interest in going down the mine. Some of the older miners retired. Some of them are working in construction. Some of them are doing odd jobs, working on the market in Copiapó or running errands. So it's a whole mix, really. But work has certainly been a problem. I spoke to one of the oldest miners, Omar Regadas, and he said that he'd been out of work for a year. And many of them feel as though they've been let down as well by the Chilean authorities. When they came out, there were all these promises made that they would be retrained, that they would find it easy to find jobs. Many indeed were predicting that they would be millionaires and they would never have to work again if they didn't want to. But they say that that's not the case. And while I was in Copiapó, I met up with Alex Vega. He was the 10th of the miners to be pulled to the surface. And this is what he had to say to me about the promises that were made to them when they were initially rescued.
I've lost all faith in the government. They promised a lot of things. They gave a pension to 14 of us, the oldest 14, but the rest of us, we were just left there. They promised us dental treatment because the water we were forced to drink from the underground tanks rotted our teeth, but that came to nothing. They promised to train us to improve our chances of finding work, but that didn't come to anything either.
I'm kind of surprised to hear these miners seem so kind of adrift. Have you spoken with the government, Gideon, and what do they say?
I have spoken to the government, and they say there's a limit in some sense to how much help they can give. They say that the welfare of the miners, in particular their psychological welfare, is in the hands of a private association. So they say it's not really a matter for the state. The other big issue which the miners have is compensation. And I've spoken to the government about that. And again, the government says, well, you know, this is a matter for the courts. So the miners expect, and I think they're right to expect this, that it will take years before that compensation claim gets through the Chilean courts. So the government says it is sympathetic, but it also says there's a limit to what it can actually do.
Yeah, I want to ask you one more thing about this Hollywood version of the miners' story. It's called The 33. It's in production. It's got Antonio Banderas and Juliette Binoche. The miners have been promised a cut of the proceeds. They haven't gotten much joy from their own government. What about Hollywood? Will they make good?
Well, it seems so. When I was up there, it was in December, there was a lot of expectation about the film. And in February and in March, the film crew came down here. Juliette Binoche came down. Antonio Banderas came down. There was a huge hoo-ha. They actually went up to the mine and filmed at the mine itself. And the film is due to come out later in the year. And it does seem as though the production company have tried to include the 33 miners in that process. They included them in the sense of actually hiring them on the set. Some of the miners were interested in having small roles in the film. And they've also included them financially as well. And it does seem as though the film production company has treated this subject matter sensitively. It's been talking to the miners at every stage of the operation to try and get exactly what their story was and try and represent it faithfully in the film.
The BBC's Gideon Long bringing us up to date on the survivors of the 2010 mine disaster in Chile. Thank you, Gideon.
Thank you, Marco.